Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And there is no doubt our God is a faithful God. And praise the Lord for that. Well, what a blessing it's been just already, just being in this place tonight, being in church on this Wednesday night. I trust that you've already been blessed. But now as we look into the Word of God and continue our study on the life of John the Baptist, I believe that there's so much here to learn, practical truths to learn from the life of John the Baptist. So if you have your Bibles with you, look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 3. Luke in chapter 3. And we're going to just read just a couple verses tonight, verse 3 and verse 4. As we've been studying on the life of John the Baptist, we started out with who is John. Jesus revealed so much about John that was a help for us to be blessed by. And the greatest thing that I think that he presents to us is as we're looking at the life of John the Baptist, there's none greater, been none greater. And so what a statement for Jesus to make about John, meaning that we ought to study his example, study his testimony. John's title was the prophet of the highest. He represented the highest. That's the highest calling. Representing Christ is the highest calling that anyone could ever have. There's none higher than Jesus Christ. He's God, manifest in the flesh. There's none higher. And then his task was to give knowledge of salvation, if you will, pointing people to Jesus Christ. And both of those things, his title and his task, are the same for every New Testament believer today. Every one of us could, if you will, be put into that title and we could put into that task. We're here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world, salt of the earth. And we're here to give people the knowledge of salvation, and that is simply just pointing them to Jesus Christ. He is the one. It's not the church. It's not me. It's Christ. And he is the one that people need to learn about. That's why when somebody gets saved, I tell them the most important thing for you to do right now, read the first four books of the New Testament, because of the Gospels, they tell you of the life of Christ. And it's an impossibility to be Christ-like until you know what Christ was like. And that's the goal. The goal is to become more like Christ. That's a continuous goal for every believer, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been saved. The continuous goal is to become more and more like Christ. Because he was God, represented in humanity, in man's flesh. God revealing how he would have man to live. That's the example that we have. What a blessing it is to know that. Well, John is just like he was pointing people to Christ and knowing that Christ had come and he was going to go to the cross. He was going to be the sacrificial lamb. He was going to be buried. He was going to be resurrected on the third day. And since that, everyone else, all Christianity since that time, is pointing them back to Christ. Back some 2,000 years to when Christ walked on the face of the earth. Well, last week, John prepared for 30 years. Now, his ministry began with his parents. His parents knew that God had a purpose and a plan, but they had to raise him. And so had to be raised. He physically had to be raised. He spiritually had to be raised. And he had to be prepared for what God called him to. Amen? That's three thoughts that every child has to do. And it's three thoughts that every parent ought to keep in mind concerning raising children. And so but it was for 30 years. He was 29 years old and still was not doing the personal will for God. He did not know for sure when it was he was going to start his public ministry. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, that's what we preached on basically last week, is how do you know the personal will of God? And the simple answer to that is when it's time, God will let you know. You have to walk with God. You have to be doing the revealed will of God, walking with God, doing what he already tells you to do. And in the midst of doing that, he'll reveal to you his personal will. You'll know it. When you're walking with God, he just reveals it to you. You'll know what he would have you to do. And what a blessing it is to know that. And that's what verse 2 of chapter 3, it says this. Ananias and Luke chapter 3, verse 2, and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan. It's when the word of God came to him, God says it's time, that's when he went. That's when he started his public ministry. Now he's 30 years old. It was 30 years in coming, and it only would last for 6 months to a year. Wow. It only lasted his public ministry from 6 months to a year, but yet there was none greater. No one has accomplished any more than what John accomplished. He accomplished God's will, personal will for his life. That should be what all of us are looking to do. Whatever it is you're called to, whatever it is God's personal will is for your life, just accomplish that. And you have accomplished great things. Amen. Whatever that is, only God knows that. But God will reveal it to you if you want to know it and you're walking with Him. You're doing what you already know to do. God reveal His personal will for our lives. All right, well, the next thing we find, Luke chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Go ahead and stand with me and we'll get right into it. Now, I know I'm sensing a little bit of fatigue here tonight. Amen. And so I don't know what's going on here, but you made it to church. Praise the Lord. I don't know what all happened to try to keep you from church. I know we face oppositions, but you made it here. And so now let's plug into what God has for us, because I believe that you came not to be seen. Amen. You came to worship the Lord and receive what God has for us. And I trust that you'll be ready to receive that tonight. Verse 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Let's pray. Fathers, we bow before you once again. We love you and thank you, Lord, for every opportunity we have just to learn more and just to draw closer to you. And what a blessing it is when we're seeking to live in the will of God and accomplish what you have us to accomplish. There's so much help found in the assembling of ourselves together. And that's what motivates us to come. And we thank you for each one that's come tonight. And I pray, God, that you would bless them and that you would strengthen each one of us to be able to leave this place and be better prepared to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Okay, so now John knows the word of God came to John. John said, God says, John, it's time. All that your preparation all that has arrived. I mean, it's time to now start doing what I have prepared you to do. And that is to be the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to go out. And we know all of the different things, but what the Bible says about it, it says, and he came, and this is the beginning of his public ministry, and the Bible says, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. So tonight what we're looking at is what John came to do, boiled down to, John came to preach God's message. Preaching God's message would prepare the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching God's message would get people to be looking for the one that he would eventually look to physically and point to and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, stop and think about it for just a little bit here to understand what's taking place here. This is a time in the history of humanity like no other time in the history of humanity. We look at the Old Testament, and God raised up the nation of Israel through Abraham. And the purpose of the nation of Israel to be called the children of God was to represent God to the world. There's people all over the world, but God says, I want the people of the world to understand that there is a creator God. There is one true God, and he is the creator of all things. And I'm going to raise up my children, and they're going to have a set of commandments. Because what I want them to do is to live a life that points to the reality, the truth of a creator God. And they were to represent God to the world. The entire Old Testament, we find that the history of Israel representing God to the world. And wow, how they represented God and how that they were able to be blessed by the Pharaoh through Joseph. and to grow to be a multi-million individual nation and become even more stronger, and they were multiplying more so than what the Egyptians were. And then when it was time, God called them out of Egypt to take them to the promised land. And for God to work the miracles that he did to defeat the Egyptian army, for God to work the miracles he did to part the Red Sea, for God to work the miracles he did every day of their lives by giving them the manna, every day of their lives putting the fire over them by night to keep them comforted during the evening time when it's cold in the desert, and giving them the clouds that would follow them in the daytime to keep them from the scorching heat of the sun. And the world would see this. The world would see this nation of Israel marching across this desert, going into the promised land, which they would eventually conquer. They would take the promised land. And the whole world would see that there is a creator God. There's something different about this people. So they're the testimony of God to the world. And then before this takes place right here, before the coming of John the Baptist, there's 400 silent years. No new messages from God. Now, the world still had the Old Testament. The world still had the testimony of Israel, the example of the nation of Israel. That's all they had. There were no new prophecies. There was no new messages. God had not spoken other than what he had already given to the world concerning the nation of Israel. 400 years. And now it was time. All the pieces of the puzzle of humanity had developed. The world had developed into what God knew that it would develop into in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And what God had revealed in his word before the silent years, and the thing that they were to look forward to, the next prophecy of the Old Testament, was the coming of the Messiah, which would start out with the coming of John the Baptist, the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find that in the book of Isaiah. We also find that in the book of Malachi, talking about that. Those are the prophecies. And when John starts his public ministry, we find that each of the gospel writers refer to he came preaching as it was prophesied that he would do. God has opened up communications with man once again. And he came into all the country of Jordan preaching, revealing truths from God. That's what preaching is. Preaching the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah. And he goes on. We'll get some more of that in just a minute. But I want you to see what is taking place here. When John, now it's time. The fullness of time has come to this point and this place. Now we look back at some 2,000 years ago, and all the pieces of the puzzle of humanity, from when God created man, had fallen into place and developed for this point in time. Matthew chapter 3, I want you to see what Matthew says about it as well, and then we'll look at Mark, but Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 3. I want you to see the significance of John coming and what he did in the beginning concerning God's personal will for his life. He came preaching. In Matthew chapter 3, in verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, this is Matthew's account. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Wow. Look over to Mark chapter 1. In Mark in chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, this is where the beginning was. First of all, would have been John the Baptist coming to present the Christ. As it is written in the prophets, as it is written, it's been 400 silent years, but what was you were supposed to be looking for? As it was written, this is what was going to come next. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. Now look down to verse 14 in this very same chapter, Mark in chapter 1, because now Christ comes, and look what he says about this. And now after that, John was put in prison. When he put in prison, his public ministry was ended. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. That's important, right? The time is fulfilled. And he goes on to say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Preaching this very same message that John preached. But the idea here, he says, the time is fulfilled. Ephesians in chapter 1. We're laying the groundwork for this. I trust it's intriguing to you. I think it's something we ought to look forward to understanding and learning why it is, what took place, and why it was time for John to come, and what it was that God spoke to John as far as what was he here to do. Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. There's going to be things that are not openly revealed, but it's a mystery until God reveals it to you. God's personal will for your life could be a mystery, and it is a mystery. His revealed will is not, but it's the mystery of his personal will until God speaks to you, reveals it to you. Well, he says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, this is the mystery of the Old Testament, looking forward to the coming of Christ. The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, it's a mystery until it's time to be revealed, that in the dispensations, the breakdown of time, of the fullness of time, it was the fullness, the time had developed into where God wanted it to develop. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And so we find here that even in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3 and verse 1, the Old Testament, he says, there's a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, in heaven, there is no time. Once God's purpose for humanity has come to an end, time will be no more. And there's an eternity in the place of heaven. Okay? But until that time, there is periods of time. We're in the book of Revelation. That's a period of time. But John came in the fullness of his time. God had prepared humanity. They developed into what it needed to be for John to come. And that would be right before, to introduce the coming of Christ. And so knowing this, now let's go back to our text in Luke in chapter, or actually I want you to go to Matthew, because I think in Matthew here it describes more of the idea of his preaching. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. John came preaching in the wilderness and saying, this is what he preached. The message that John preached. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So his message was, repent. A change of mind that leads to a change of life. Yeah. Repentance means that it's just a change. If I'm thinking I'm going this way and I repent, then I'm going to turn and go the opposite way. because I realize that that's the wrong way. And I'm going to repent of going that direction. And if I repent of going that direction, it's a change of mind that leads to a change of direction, a change of life. I'm not going that direction. I'm going this direction. That's repentance. John came preaching after 400 silent years. Repent. Can I tell you that he came, first of all, to the Jews? That's what the Bible reveals. That Jesus even came, first of all. Why was that? Now, he came, he loved the whole world. God, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. All men, God wants every man, woman, and child to be saved. But he came preaching to the Jews, first of all. Because the Jewish religion had become different than what God had established it for Israel in the Old Testament. The Jewish religion had become more political. It became more of a social faith. The high priest office was an appointed position under the authority of the Roman government. Rome determined who would be the high priest. And so the high priest then of the Jewish religion would actually look at the authority of his position being the Roman government more than being under the authority of God. Now they said, now you've got the Jewish people and we want you to continue. Let them, doesn't matter what they believe. If they want to believe that, just let them go on believing that way to keep them in line, to keep them productive to where they're sending us taxes. We want them to remain productive, and so we are going to be looking to you as the high priest. We know that the high priest is supposed to be over their religion, their faith. And so we're going to put you in this position, and you're responsible to us to make sure that things go as planned. Now, in the time, some 2,000 years, that's what was going on. Rome was the world superpower. And so we find here that the high priest's office was leaning more toward and looking to please the authority of Rome than what God had established Israel to do. God's children are to represent God to the world and to realize that God is the authority over them. Okay, well, they feared losing their positions, and they feared losing their social standings. And so what they did as far as their worship was somewhat now tainted by the fear of the authority over them. Which when Jesus came, he addressed that. Now with that in mind, Matthew chapter 23. Now, I want to see you why the message was repent ye. I understand the mentality, what they were thinking, what they had been taught, how they were conducting worship services. And we can't go into all of it, but I do want to share. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus addresses these religious Pharisees and these religious leaders. And he says some things to them that would lead others to realize, wow, they need to repent. Their thinking is wrong. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. The authority under men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, this is the garb that they would wear to make them seemingly more spiritual. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Now you'll find later on as you study the teachings of Christ, he was all against that. That's not what he came to establish. That's not how God would have man to represent God. God would have man to represent God as being a servant. Look at verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes, and those scribes are those who are supposed to understand the Old Testament law better than anyone else. That's what their education was. They were to learn, and then they were to present the truths of the Old Testament scriptures. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Doesn't sound like that they're doing what he wanted them to do. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. You're not serving, you're abusing. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Get people to follow you, and it becomes the blind leading the blind, because you're not leading them to follow Christ or what God established. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. The money is more important than the spiritual aspect of things. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters. Now, he's telling you, you ought to be paying tithes, but that's not the most important thing. The money is not the most important thing, but you omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment. You're not preaching judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have to have done and not to leave the other undone, but you're not preaching what you ought to be preaching. Verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. As long as we have a pretty building and we have everyone looks nice and you look the part, that's what matters, and that is not what matters. What matters is what's on the inside. Verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, which is sins. This is what the Jews, God's chosen representatives of a creator God, had been teaching, and many of them, that's what they've been taught. Wow. That's some 2,000 years ago, after the 400 silent years, that's what John now comes to address. And so what John came to preach was not or should not have been unexpected. Because in Luke 3:4 it says, as it is written. In Mark 1, 2, it says, as it is written. He came to preach what had been written. He come to fulfill the position that had been prophesied of. God knowing what kind of condition the world would be in when he would come. God knowing what kind of condition the Jews would be in when he came. The Gospels reveal what he preached was a fulfillment of prophecy. He did not preach that which came from man. He preached what had been written. And because he was preaching what had been written, and it was different than how they were living. It was different from what they were teaching. It was different from what they had been taught. What was the most important message? Repent. When somebody is living opposite the will of God and you want them to have the blessings of God, the most important message to present to that individual is repent. You can't keep going the same direction you're going because you're getting farther and farther and farther away from what God has chosen to bless. And they had gone quite a distance from what the prophets had preached and what God established Israel to do, represent God to the world. Can I tell you, that's why Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, not just preach, but he said preach the word. We fast forward some 2,000 years. God knows, and he knew then, he knows now, what kind of society we have here. And so when he addresses the church and he addresses the preacher, what he says to them that the world needs, preach the word. And when you're preaching the word as it is written, it will include repentance. Because when you then start talking to people and you say, oh, that's how you've been taught and that's what you think, let me show you what thus saith the Lord. And if this is what God says and what you've been taught is what man says, and you've been following man and you want to follow God, what do you have to do? You got to repent. Now, we're going to study later on how many repented. I mean, it was unreal. Those that understood this and the multitudes that followed John and did exactly as he said, because he had the hand of God upon his life. So that was his message. The message that he preached was what? Repentance. What it revealed? Simply, your thinking is wrong. Your thinking is wrong, so repent. That's what he preached. Today, man's thinking is wrong, thus the right message and the most important message for mankind to hear today is repent. In preaching repentance, he had to reveal what was wrong thinking and what was right thinking. And he just preached the truths of God's word. And he says, this is right thinking, and if you don't have it, repent. The real problem with humanity in every generation is what we as preachers ought to be preaching against, and that's sin. Since the beginning of the creation of man, the greatest problem that mankind has, working opposite the will of God. Somehow getting his mind confused and blinded and directed different away from God instead of toward God. And every time we find when he got his mind opposite the will of God, the judgment of God had to come down upon him. Today, what we need to understand as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we're out trying to help people, what we need to understand, what the message they need more than any other message is that of get your thinking aligned with the Word of God. The most important message that we have today is not for the economy. And yet, as we're looking at the human philosophies today and what they want to present as the most important topics. The most important topics that you'll hear from the world today is economy, national security, health care reform, human rights. If that's all you hear, if you're not in a church, if you're not in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, that's what you're going to think is the most important things for humanity today. And when you focus on those things, I'm not saying those things are not important, but when you focus on that as being the important messages of the day, your mind is going to be opposite, your thinking will be opposite the will of God. The most important thing that we need to address in society today, on this world today, is a sin problem. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, and I'm not going to be much longer, just about done here, but let me stay with me here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, verse 22. I love chapter 5 is a powerful chapter in the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians. But in chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, "Prove all things." Make sure of it. Don't just take man's word for it. In this church, don't just take my word for it. Prove it. Get your Bible out. That's what we have that represents God. Get your Bible out. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Once you know what God's thinking is, what God's will is, hold fast to it. It's not going to change. And then he says this, because this is what will take you away from God's will. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's the very next verse, because that's what's going to pull us away. Sin. So we know his message was repentance. What it revealed, their thinking was wrong. And then why was it so important? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What you're thinking concerning God will eventually make a difference on heaven and hell for your life. What you're thinking toward God will make a difference on how you live your life. The kingdom of heaven is the ways of God. It's at hand because Jesus was there to present to humanity how God wanted humanity to live and representing him on this earth. That's what Jesus did. What an example. And so John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, it's here. Christ is here. He's going to reveal to us how we ought to control our thoughts, how we ought to control our emotions, how we ought to control the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and how we ought to live and to walk to please him. Why was it so important for John to preach what he preached? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Can I tell you this evening? It was the kingdom of heaven, the ways of God, some 2,000 years ago. Today, we've had 2,000 years to develop Christ-likeness. And the church has developed. For 2,000 years, it's been developing. And only God knew where the church would be in this 21st century. But as we've been studying the book of Revelations, you can be assured of this one thing. Not only is the kingdom of heaven at hand, heaven is at hand. We are closer to eternity. We are closer to the end of this world than ever before. And knowing that heaven is at hand even emphasizes the need to preach repentance. Because it'll make the difference. Not only in how you live your life, it will make the difference in how you live your life. It'll make the difference with where you spend eternal life. Wow. What a message. that John preached. And that Jesus came and started out preaching the very same. And I believe that's emphasis to his church. Don't ever stop preaching it. It will always be the number one thing that will hinder humanity. Preach repentance. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. You put it all together and you understand the history of it and the time frame and everything else. What a powerful, powerful beginning to the ministry of John the Baptist. And what a great message for you and I as his church today. People need more than anything else is to understand the need for repentance. To have the right mind of God. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. You need to have his thinking. Along with his thinking comes the blessings of God. If you don't have it, you need to repent. Change our thinking to the thinking of God. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight. We very seldom do. We always have an invitation. If you need to come for whatever reason, now's the time to come. Give you a few minutes as God's speaking to you tonight. If you have need to come, step out and come. Amen. Lisa, you know for sure now, right? Praise the Lord.